What's going on, everyone? Art of the Game is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. To learn more, visit fireside.evansville.edu.
Yeah, make it look easy. Hey, stand up guy, boom, 10 toes. Big body pull up in a Range Rover. I can change the whole game when I say so. I pull up, shut it down, yeah, they know. Running this game ain't a thing for me.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Art of the Game, where we sit down with student athletes talking about the game of life. And today we have with us Alexa Davis from the UE softball team. Welcome in, Alexa.
Thank you for having me.
Alexa Davis, she is the outfielder for the UE women's softball team. She's from Westville, Indiana. Her journey here to the University of Evansville, she is now a senior. She will be graduating this spring along with myself. It's been a long 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Went by fast, though. Oh, my goodness. Next Saturday.
Yeah.
May 4th crazy. At 1:30. That's going to be a fun time. Let's start at the beginning. You're from Westville, Indiana. What was your upbringing like, and when did sports come into your life?
Yeah, so my upbringing, my whole family is super athletic. My mom, my dad, my sister, we kind of all just like found a bond around that. This is a funny story. We used to go to the track, and like my mom and dad would be like, let's have a competition. Who can run the most laps?
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds intimidating. It really does. I don't know why we found so much fun in that, but we did. I was always so competitive with them too. So I think my competitiveness, like, I wanted to win every game we played at, and I tried softball, and that stuck.
So like she said, entire family athletic, there must be something in the water in that household. Her pops played collegiate baseball at IUPUI. Her mom is she teaches yoga, and she's a gym rat. Her sister played college volleyball at Grace College. So, yeah, again, there's something there in the water in the Davis household. But you played high school volleyball with your sister, but you also ended up playing softball as well. So when did those two sports end up sticking with you?
So softball kind of started when I was a lot younger. Volleyball, my sister was so much more into it than I was. I just kind of helped her practicing, and I wanted to compete with her too. And eventually it was like, well, I want to be a setter. So I was like, okay, I'll hit for you when you set. And then soon enough, we were kind of like a dynamic duo in high school. People used to be scared of us.
Okay.
Was it because we trash talked? Maybe. But, you know, that sister bond during volleyball is something I feel like it's taken for granted. If you have two sisters that play volleyball, the communication is there. They're not afraid to get on each other. So we were pretty good.
How much did your father playing baseball really play in you deciding that, okay, I'm going to stick with softball?
My dad, I feel like a lot of little girls have this story when they started playing softball, but my dad took me out to the backyard one day and got me a pink glove, and it didn't fit very well, and threw me a softball, and we just played catch one day. And I feel like him, like his competitiveness and his philosophies and life lessons that he's learned through baseball, I think me going throughout softball, having him as like my mentor almost, that kind of made it stick, because he gave me more of the reasons why I played versus just kind of teaching me how to play.
And what do you believe some of those reasons are?
I believe one of the biggest reasons is failure. Learning how to fail is the hardest thing for anyone to do. In softball and baseball, you fail 7 out of 10 times and you're, you know, an All-American. You're hitting 300. I think him teaching me that failure is okay, failure is something that you learn from, I started to honestly enjoy, like, that feeling and the adrenaline of, like, sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail, so.
I want to also touch with your mother and your sister as well. Again, your sister played college volleyball. Your mom, no, she did not play sports, but again, gym rat. You know, so that's something also where you have to accept like some type of failure at it, right? Mm-hmm. Were you able to also learn anything from your mother and your sister?
Oh, yeah. My family always jokes about this because, you know, I played college sports. My dad played college sports. My sister did. But we truly do mean it. My mom is the most athletic person in our family. She truly is. She has done so many different things. She's like done fitness competitions, taught yoga, taught Pilates. She is like her mindset with sports and athletics. She's the strongest person I know. Like she can sit there, she can do a plank for like 4 minutes. So I think the things that she has taught me is to push your body beyond what you think it can. I love working out with her. I really do. It sucks. It's hard to work out with my mom. It really is. She has taught me that your mind is something that stops you a lot. So if you can push past your mind, most of the time your body can do it.
In high school, you went to North Point, but they did not have a softball team. So you ended up doing travel ball with the St. Louis Chaos. How did that experience go?
It was terrifying at first. I mean, I'm like driving, I don't know, 4.5 hours, however far it was, every week to go practice with this team that I didn't know anything about. And it was more of just an opportunity. I wanted to keep playing while other people were playing high school softball because we weren't playing travel then. So I was like, I gotta keep up with my competition. It ended up being such a fun experience. I think with that team was my best competition that I've played in travel softball. It was something that was out of my comfort zone. I didn't like to leave home that much. And going there was really a unique experience.
What were some of the places that you remember going and being able to have an amazing time?
Oh, my favorite, always my favorite tournament was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I don't know what it was about that place. I think it was just like the competition. Maybe it was because I always played good there. Mm-hmm. We went so many different places. And it was beyond softball. Like, we would hang out at the hotel after. We would go on hikes. We would go to the beach. We went to Washington and went to, like, waterfalls and to see orcas and stuff. Like, it was so much fun.
What was the vibe like when you first got with the team? Again, you're talking to coaches, so you don't really know anybody on the roster. How was it hard or was it easy to really form that camaraderie with your teammates?
I feel like from the outside looking in, it can be a little intimidating. And it was for me, like, to be the new person that was like, all these girls go to high schools either together or around the same area. They're all from St. Louis. And then here I am, like some girl from like Westfield, Indiana, that's just like, can I play? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like the kid that's like left out at recess. But we made something of it. Like, they were all super, super nice and inviting to me. And I think it was more of just like us finding a bond over softball that kind of like took away all those boundaries and of where we went to high school or if we lived near each other. When we came together, it was super fun.
So you do travel softball. Now you're probably getting looked at, things of that nature. You end up picking UE. Were there other options that you were possibly considering besides the University of Evansville?
Yeah, my recruiting was a journey. It was something that I like had no idea what I wanted. I was conflicted a bit because people in eighth grade were committing to like Florida and Alabama. And I was sitting back like, whoa, like, you guys know what college you want to go to? Like, I don't even know what my favorite color is still. Like, I'm so confused. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I kind of shied away from recruiting a little bit until I was maybe like 16. I didn't even really want to mess with it because to me, like, and this was just my experience, not everyone feels that same way. My experience was I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I kind of went back and forth between a difference of levels from NAIA to D2 to D1. I was like, which one is best fit for me? And I went to them all. I looked at them all. I was like, do I want to go further away from home, which was Murray State, who's actually in our conference now, or do I want to be a little bit closer at Evansville? And I honestly just fell in love with the small school because I did go to a small school. So,
besides outfielder, were there any other positions that you played in softball?
Yeah, I grew up as a pitcher, left-handed pitcher. My dad was actually a left-handed pitcher in baseball too, and he was a fiery one. And I kind of took a little bit of that from him. But that was my main thing growing up was – like, my dad we would play catch all the time. I would pitch to him, and I dabbled in the outfield. I would sometimes get thrown into right field if we needed someone there. It was like, you know, Alexa, go play right field for a second. But I never truly, like, accepted that as, like, a huge position that I played. And I did hit, too, and I was decent, but I wasn't necessarily the best hitter. But then getting to college, I came in as a PO, and it kind of all just, like, switched after freshman year.
So you get injured your freshman year. What was it that made you self-aware to go to your coach and say, listen, coach, I'm not what you recruited, but I believe that I can still provide a huge asset to this team in the outfield. Well, where did that self-awareness come from?
Honestly, it kind of came from I wanted to be something more useful to my team. I knew my abilities, and I say this, I know that like athletes have to know and be confident in who they are and their abilities. If you aren't, you'll get ate up out there. You have to be confident in what you've got and what you can provide. And I knew that there was more that I could provide than just being an injured pitcher. Mm-hmm. I knew that there was something more that I could do for the team. I knew that like my athletic ability would allow me to learn that position. And so I kind of just offered that up to my coach, and I think I proved myself out there.
So what would have been the surgery and timetable, all of that, if you decided to stay at your pitching position?
So the surgery for thoracic outlet syndrome is you get a part of your scalene removed and your first rib, and that's supposed to open up more space so there's no compression. Main symptoms of TOS is like your arm goes numb, you get swollen and tingly in your hand, and you lose strength. So that surgery, the recovery from it would have been maybe 6 months. But coming with that after was going to be even more time of progressing back to pitching, then starting to pitch again, and then just hoping and praying that you're the same exact pitcher that you used to be. And, you know, surgery was kind of a risk that I didn't really feel like was in the cards for me, honestly, as an athlete. I wanted to get out there immediately.
So what was the training like that summer in the off season with your father?
Oh boy. The training with my dad, he knew my goal, and I knew my goal too. And if you have ever trained with your dad growing up, you fight a lot. Mm-hmm. It goes back and forth. There's highs and lows. There's days when I don't want to go and he forces me to go. And there's days when I do want to be there and it's fun. But that summer, we were both really on the same page every single day. It was like, you want to do this? Like, let's go do this. You have to. And so every single day I was out there hitting, and he was hitting me moonshots in the sky into the sun. And I learned how to play outfield that summer.
All right, Lex, we just finished wrapping up talking about how that training with your father, that freshman summer going into your sophomore season, you guys were butting heads, plenty of highs and lows, right? But what was the toll on you, not just physically, but also mentally? Because that is something that you have also advocated for, which is student athletes and making sure they're taking care of their mental health.
Yeah, I think student athlete mental health is something that is being talked about more, but it's something that I've always felt like needed to be talked about even more than that. You know, I actually made a documentary last year for Joe Atkinson, okay, all about student athlete mental health, because I think it's so important. But you often see these athletes walking around, you know, they get to be put in like a spotlight almost. You get to be on ESPN. You get to be this like top athlete. And there's a lot of times you don't see the behind the scenes of like what's going on the inside. For me, I've always struggled honestly with self-identity as it relates to softball versus like moving into the world. Being a student athlete, you're working out all the time. You're training all the time. And then you get to a game and you fail. And I know failure seems to be something that some people think that you can get over. But to student athletes, when you go into a game that you've put so much time into and then you fail, it's kind of like a blow to the ego almost. It's a blow to your self-identity, and where you sit back and you question like, well, I put everything I am into this specific sport, in this specific competition, and I didn't even do well in that. And so I think if you're not checking in on athletes and they're not prioritizing their mental health, it can spiral into something that's like bigger than that. You know, checking in after there's a bad game, bad games can seem like the end of the world to a lot of athletes. So
You had the support there from your father, right, helping you being able to get ready to play this new position that you yourself so confidently said that I can do and put yourself in. What was the support that your mother and your sister, again, sister, college athlete, your mother, gym rat, what was the support that they were able to lend you?
They provide so much. Honestly, it's like loving support. You know, we're such a competitive family, and it's like, yeah, go get them. But then there's a point where like my mom's telling me, hey, I just love watching you play. And as an athlete, to hear your family say that, and especially I know a lot of athletes can struggle with like wanting to prove yourself to other people, but to hear your family just be like, hey, I'm here to watch you be happy. I'm so happy to see you out there being happy. It means a lot, and it honestly can drive you and fuel you and make you feel like you're more than just an athlete. I'm Alexa that you like to see happy. It makes you feel good when your family kind of supports you from that angle rather than a physical angle.
Some most memorable games and moments in college.
Ooh, there are a lot that come to mind, honestly, that like I feel like I had a lot of fun in. One of my most rewarding one was actually my very first game as an outfielder. So after my freshman year, and then I trained that whole summer to play outfield. In the fall, we went to a tournament at Grand Park, which is like a minute away from where I live. So my whole family could come and watch. And the very first game, I was like, okay, like I proved myself and I didn't play. And I was like, oh, that's a blow. And then the next game, I got to play center field. And I was like, okay, like this is my chance. And we were playing Northern Kentucky. And my very first at bat, I hit a home run. And it was kind of like, I remember I have a video of me like pumping my fists in the air. You know, maybe a little embarrassing of a home run celebration in a fall game. But like, it felt like, oh my gosh, I made it. Mm-hmm. Like, I proved that to myself. So in that game, I actually was a single shy of hitting for the cycle. Okay. So it was a super memorable game because it was more for me in like proving to myself, okay, like you're able to compete with these people. Now let's go do something more.
Were there any moments that you really felt like I'm done and I just want to give up?
Yeah. Freshman year, when I got injured at first, you know, as a freshman going into college too, I think that also kind of added to it was like, I feel like everyone goes through a little bit of like a whoa, like this is weird. I'm at a completely different place freshman year, but I didn't think I was good enough. And I think being injured, you know, I was like, okay, I'm injured. I'm not providing any value to my team. Like, should I just stop? Is this my sign? And I did talk about that with my mom, actually. I remember being like, okay, well, I got injured. What should I do? And they pushed me. They were like, Alexa, you have wanted this for so long. And you've pushed past injuries in the past. You've pushed through things. This is just another obstacle. And I think to have that support of someone else telling me, like, you're not going to give up yet was so important. And they did give me the opportunity. They were like, okay, in a year or once you get past this injury, if you want to give up, okay, then you can. But they knew that I wouldn't.
They said, no, you gotta finish, get this first. Then yeah, you can have an excuse.
Exactly.
You talked about the life lessons that your father and your mother and your sister were able to teach you. What in your 40 years here at the University of Evansville have you been able to learn yourself?
One of the biggest things I've learned is leadership. On the team, you know, as a senior now, I'm more in a leadership position. But when I was a freshman and sophomore, I had to know how to be led, which I think a lot of people talk about how to lead, but they don't necessarily talk about how to be led. And it's something that is difficult for some people to understand because you have to be able to, you know, push the ego aside, listen to the message, not the delivery. You have to be able to look in the mirror and reflect on yourself. So that's something that our team is really big on now. And I think as a senior, I'm able to teach to our younger classes, which is we can either lose this game and we can point fingers at the umpires, we can point fingers at the coaches, we can point fingers at our teammates, or we can lose this game and we can go home and we can look in the mirror and be like, how can I fix this? How can I get better and deliver to my team? So I think learning how to be led and push your ego aside is something that is important as a team sport.
For someone who says they were stubborn, how long did it take you to make sure you, that you actually locked in with that?
Oh my goodness. It's a struggle. It's took me probably till I want to say maybe like it, maybe the beginning of sophomore year I started to realize it, and it actually took a senior looking at me and saying, "Hey, it's not about you." And it embarrassed me in front of the team. And I was like,
whoa.
And at first I found myself like wanting to honestly talk bad about that person and be like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe she said that to me. And then being like, hold on, she's right. Like, it's not about me. It's about the team. And I think from that moment, it was kind of like, I can either sit here and point fingers at other people and complain about why I felt like it is about me, or I can just really honestly be like, this is a team sport. It's not about you.
Again, you're a senior, be graduating this spring. What are the next steps?
So I have, honestly, I don't really know what my next steps are. I plan to move back home, which is Westfield, Indiana. I would like to search for a job around there, but I think I'm going to take the summer off, do some job searching then. But I really feel like, you know, going through 4 years of college, a lot of people, and it blows my mind. Sometimes I look from the outside and I'm like, dang, all these people have their lives lined up and they're moving into an apartment right away and they're getting jobs. But most of the time, that's not how it is. And it's hard to accept that. But like, I got to understand that like right now I'm feeling a little burnt out. I got to take a break.
Alexa, thank you for coming on the Art of the Game podcast. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the great information. And I believe advice that you were able to give, not only just student athletes like yourself, but I believe just people in general. So once again, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. You were a great podcast host. So
running this game ain't a thing for me. I never switched up, no change in me. The only thing changing this season, you go against me, then you know that you tweaking, okay? Cause baby, I'm him. I be on 10. Two stepping in the party, I do not dance. Watch how I move, make it look easy. Counting up.